I got my desk.
Good morning, everybody. I didn't want to rush you to a seat. We have a little bit extra time today, so I didn't want to push it. Wanted to get everybody kind of back in our zone. I want to welcome everyone back, all of our members. We have the same members we had last time we were here in May. It's great to see everybody. And I'll have a couple of opening statements. Again, we've got some security changes I want to make sure the public is aware of. We'll kind of announce that today. We've got some new staff here, though, that we want to also recognize. And again, as we open up our work this year with our Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development, Finance, and Policy Committee, the best committee ever. Good morning, Representative Greenman. Good to have you. Is that a lot has changed over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And I don't want to forget that. I want to say how grateful I am as a individual member here to say how grateful I was about yesterday. Yesterday was a beautiful day. It was in honor of a wonderful leader. I look forward to trying to live up to those standards that she would want to have this year, as long as, and I think along with all of us, we know we can all do better. We can all own a piece of this, making things better. And I just wanted to recognize that day. This is a special session for us. And I hope that our work can start today about working openly and honestly, with knowing that we can actually both have a lot of what we want. We can have a thriving economy in a progressively, kind of a progressive type state that can do a lot for people, but also we need to know that that engine is the jobs and the economies that drive our companies that invest here in Minnesota. So I think we're gonna have a really good year, and I just wanna tone it up that way. And I wanna thank everybody again for being here and allowing me to adjust the schedule a little bit this morning. So I appreciate you allowing that to happen, and I know you are happy about that at all, Lisa. Thank you. So anyway, with that, I will also, you know what, Co-Chair Pinto, if you want to make any opening statements before I read the other statement, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to be back together. I said to you, Mr. Chair, just before the hearing that I'd had an exchange with our Democratic members, DFL members, over the weekend, and was just noting how much has happened since we were last together. I agree with you that the memorialization yesterday of the Hortmans was just so well put together and such an important thing to do. And I found it really powerful, and I know that so many others did as well. And then thinking about everything else that's happened, for many of us, there's been a lot of trauma in the last 2 months. We're going to talk more about that at a hearing tomorrow. And there's just been a lot that's happened. I feel even more determined to make sure that we have we make progress in the areas of that this committee has jurisdiction over, in workforce and in labor and labor rights and in economic development, and then more broadly in the work that we're doing as a body. So I appreciate the chance to do that. I know we've got a couple personnel changes. I don't know if you're going to get to that, Mr. Chair, at this point or another point.
A little bit later.
Okay, yep. Good. Well, thank you, Chair, and it's good to be back together. Thanks.
Thank you. And members, and again, to the audience, to the public, some things have changed here at the Capitol. I want to make sure that I kind of do this announcement, sort of an update, some clarity from the Sergeant of Arms that we have here at the Capitol, who keeps us safe every single day that we're here. We so appreciate them. But again, welcome back to the Minnesota House of Representatives. We appreciate your interest and participation in the legislative process. To ensure everyone can hear and view and understand today's proceedings, we ask for you and the cooperation in maintaining decorum and civility throughout this hearing and throughout the year. For the safety, security, and comfort of all of our attendees, please note the following guidelines. I, as the committee co-chair, and again, I know when co-chair Pinto will be here, we are to maintain control of these proceedings and establish the following expectations. Signs and placards are not permitted in the hearing room. Verbal outbursts, shouting, disruptive behavior will not be tolerated. Applause or other audible demonstrations are not allowed. For safety reasons, standing or sitting in walkways and aisles, or standing or obstructing at your chair is prohibited. If you require any accommodations, please speak with our sergeant staff, who are identified here today by the yellow gold ties. And thank you for being in the back of the room. Troopers and house security personnel are present to ensure everyone's safety. Those providing testimony will be given specific time limits, which must be strictly observed. Today, we won't really have that. We have plenty of time today, but at some times, you'll know that. We'll talk about that when that comes up. We really need to keep our schedules tight on time because our room is used right after we're done. We have to make sure that we're cleared out. If you receive an entrance ticket when you came into the room, please make sure you hang on to it, as you may be required to show it if you have to re-enter the room during that hearing. Failure to comply with these guidelines may result in the removal from a hearing. Your goal, our goal, is to conduct these proceedings efficiently while ensuring everyone the opportunity to observe and participate appropriately. So that's from the sergeant. We appreciate those comments. And again, we have some new people with us this year. I'd like to introduce our new committee legislative assistant, Noah La Silva. This is Noah. He'll be, did I say it right, the last name?
La Salvia.
See, didn't get that right either. But we are, and Noah has been with our team for a bit now, but he got this promotion to this committee. I'm super glad that he's here. We also have our pages from last year, too. Well, Riley Jones is last year. Riley, are you here? You stand up. Just stand up just so people can recognize you. And we have a new one, Cayenne Quarter. If Cayenne could stand up. There we go. So we have two pages that will be assigned to our committee. Thank you both very much for being here today. Welcome, Cayenne, to the committee. Appreciate that. And also, Megan Mullenbach is going to be joining us from Nonpartisan Research, and she'll be helping us with some specific items in our committee jurisdiction. Mr. Co-Chair, do you have also a new person?
Indeed, Mr. Chair, yeah. So new committee legislative assistant on the DFL side, Aisha Tiamiu, who's in the back there, and we're so glad to have her. She is fairly new to the House and just having a terrific tenure so far. I'd also like to note we have a slight change in our membership, actually, in that the members of the committee are the same. We have had an elevation in that we now have the co-chair of the Ways and Means Committee, who's a member of our committee, and so very glad to have Chair Frazier on our committee as well. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And again, just for people to know, our senior non-Patterson staff are still here, Ashley Eng, and then Anna Scholey. So thank you very much for joining us as well. Okay, it's time to get on with our business, ladies and gentlemen. I do see that we have a quorum. We have a minutes to approve from our last meeting back in May. May 6th of 2025, they were included in your packet. Members, I'm looking for a motion to move the minutes forward.
Chair, I'm happy to do so.
Mr. Co-Chair Pinto moves the minutes of May 6, 2025. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes have been carried. We have one bill on the docket today, members. House File 3393, if Representative Igo would come forward. And also he's got some testifiers if they want to start moving forward do this. I know that we're one short because of the weather up north. So get yourself settled in. Representative, thank you for bringing this bill to us, and I think we'll have an amendment to work, and you can just let us know when you want to talk about the amendment, too. So, to your bill, Representative Igo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. It's good to be back with all of you. In front of us today, we have House File 3393, which is another UI extension for affected minors on Minnesota's Iron Range. So just a few weeks ago on February 1st, we were made aware of 45 more layoffs from Cleveland Cliffs at our HibTac facility located in Hibbing. And with that new layoff, with the one, if everyone remembers, we had over 600 that this committee worked with at the end of last session, this adds to that number. So as the range delegation has done in the past, we're doing again now, we're coming to ask for that extension for these workers. This is all fresh, I think, in everyone's mind when we talked about it, but these jobs, these people who work these jobs aren't just regular workers. They're our friends, they're our family, they're our community. And the reason the legislature for generations has came and given these support and given these extensions is because we work in such a unique industry, because they are the backbone of our economy. And because when we go through downturns in mining, we need those jobs to remain and stay so that when it ticks back up, they're there to take their jobs back and keep being the engine of not only just northeastern Minnesota's economy, but one of the state's legacy industries and the backbone of the nation's steel industry. So it's a very simple bill. I want to give credit to Representative Johnson for the work that him and I kind of did over the weekend to get this bill in shape, and I know he has an amendment. So I think before I say any more on it, we can get to my testifiers, I'd like to move to the amendment.
Thank you very much, Representative Igo. Representative Pete Johnson, to your amendment.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move the A1 amendment. The A1 amendment just strikes on page 2, subdivision 5, which is the charging of benefits section. This, in essence, makes it match the bill that we passed last year to help this same group of workers and keeps it consistent for calculating the experience rating of the employers.
Thank you very much. And to the author of the bill, comments on the amendment?
Again, thank you, Representative Johnson, for working with me on this. This is a friendly amendment, and I would encourage a yes vote on it.
Okay. Member comments or questions to members? Representative Schultz.
Mr. Chair, could we have nonpartisan provide a little bit of details to what, like, the implications to deleting that subdivision would be?
Certainly. Megan?
Chair members, subdivision 5 allows the employer to use the benefits in the computation of future unemployment tax rate. So that would mean, since this was already extended before, this would change the computation for that tax rate. But this keeps it consistent.
Representative Schultz, follow up. Okay, further member questions? To the amendment for House File 3393, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? House File 3393 is now amended. And now to your bill and to the testifiers.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think if we can go to testifiers, that'd be great.
All right, sounds good. Mr. Arbogast, if he is here, come forward, please. Introduce yourself. And also, the Mr. Mayor is on deck. If you want to take a chair, Mr. Mayor, you're welcome to do that as well. John, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Sure. My name is John Arbogast. I'm the staff representative with United Steelworkers, District 11. I'm responsible for all 6 of the taconite mines on the USW side on the range and some other projects that hopefully will come to fruition at some time. Unfortunately, I'm back again. It's always been an honor and privilege to come and testify at these hearings. But we had another round of layoffs. And thank you to Spencer Igoe for introducing the bill, Representative Johnson. I just want to let the members know things have really not gotten much better on the range. We've had some more layoffs at Hibbing Taconite, but there is a ray of hope. And what these extensions do is, you know, bridge the gap before people in the Iron Range have to sell their houses, move, leave the state, and I think that there's some encouraging news when it comes to taconite mining, and we have some other projects with Mesabi Metallics that I think they'll start stripping sometime this year. The permitting is going very well. So there's 300 jobs that will displace the 600-plus that are laid off right now, plus some of the other projects hopefully on the range. So I'm here to ask for your support, which I know I've testified in front of this committee a few times, including last year, and you were very supportive of the Iron Range, of the steel workers, and I thank you all for that. And for this 45, there is hopefully, like I said, things are going to turn the corner. I really can't talk about some of those projects, but we hope Cliffs is going to rebound, interest rates are going to come down, auto sales are going to take off again. It's just taking a little longer than we thought. But we don't want these people to – we're already having a lot of our members move to states like Arizona and chasing other mining jobs because once you're a miner, that's kind of what we do, big rock, little rock, and that's all we kind of got. But so I appreciate your support. I know this committee has always supported us, and thank you for that, and thank you to Spencer.
Thank you very much for that. Any member questions for the testifier? Otherwise, we'll move on to the mayor. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Arbogast, for coming in. Mr. Mayor, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony from the beautiful city of Hibbing.
Thank you so much, and good morning to everybody, Chair Baker, committee, and Representative Igoe for the opportunity to speak today. I am Mayor Pete Hajduk from the city of Hibbing. Our city is located in the heart of the Iron Range. I'm here today to strongly support this legislation to extend these unemployment benefits, particularly for our Hibbing TAC employees at this time. This bill is nearly a carbon copy, as was mentioned, what this legislature passed last May for roughly 600 workers. They are deeply personal, these layoffs, and they ripple through all the communities up on the Iron Range. And I can personally relate to the importance of these benefits as I used them in 1984 to redirect my career from mining to a new path in my life. Mining is one of Minnesota's legacy industries, and Mr. Spencer Igo had mentioned, and it's important that it makes our state economy diverse and regionally strong. With this new round of mining layoffs, the impact on our region becomes more severe, shrinking our tax base, depressing local business revenues, and pushing more families toward economic hardship. When the mining industry struggles, every Iron Range community feels it. These are specialized mining careers, good-paying, family-supporting jobs that workers have built their lives around. Extending these unemployment benefits is about preserving one of Minnesota's most skilled workforces. A six-month extension will keep these workers intact, connected, and ready to return when the operation stabilizes. Without this bridge, we risk losing workers permanently, and once that workforce is gone, it is difficult to rebuild. This extension is practical, a temporary tool to help the Iron Range weather hard economic times without deeper decline. The industry in our region and our way of life often feel like we're under attack. We need a Minnesota to continue expanding mining, not restricting it with permitting standards that prevent responsible growth. To move forward with decisions on sulfate permitting so that the industry can mobilize, invest, and move our region forward. To continue exploring, permitting for emerging opportunities like precious metals and now helium, which will provide new pathways for the miners moving forward. The Iron Range has done mining responsibly for generations since the 1880s. We want to keep doing it safely, sustainably, with 21st century technology and science. Members of the committees, in closing, finding a solution here will determine whether families can keep working and whether our schools and our cities maintain stability. This bill is reasonable and it's responsible. It will help our region hold on, stay strong, and be ready for the rebound we all want to see moving forward. On behalf of the City of Hibbing and all the Iron Range cities, I urge you to support this legislation. And thank you again at this time for this opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, for your testimony. We really appreciate your being here today. Any member questions for the mayor at this time? Hearing none, stand by just in case somebody wants to ask a question later on. And to our last testifier, County Commissioner, please welcome to the committee and introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Mike Jugovich, St. Louis County Commissioner and proud retiree of Local 2705 Hibbing Taconite. I'm still a steel worker. I will be till the day I die. This is who we are. This is what we do. Something I want to touch base on just briefly, between Representative Igo and Johnson, this is what I come to St. Paul to see. Both parties working together for that common goal. This is why we're here. This is why we all get elected, to do the people's work, to do the right work together. And this is so good to see. I hear this when the Range and Duluth gets together and we work on common goals. We do it. Recently, we had an opportunity to sit down and talk about these goals, and we agreed the best way to get these goals done is by unifying. And in this day and age, now more than ever, unity is important. Obviously, we need that. The Iron Range, obviously, we've had conversations about mining. You've heard testimony. Our most precious resource is our people. And we're going to lose people. I've got 650 brothers and sisters on the unemployment line wondering what the move is, where we go, what we do after this. Can we make it until it rebounds? And we all know it's cyclical. It rebounds. But can we stay where we're at, in our homes, keep the kids in the schools without having to disrupt everything and move out of the area? That's why we're here. This is what we're doing, is trying to make sure everyone here understands we're going to get where we need to go. Secondary operations with spin-off industry jobs are just as susceptible to these layoffs because they are going to be affected as well. So it's not really just 650 steel workers that are laid off. It's the industry that supplies them. So it goes far beyond. again, I'll be brief with this. We need your help. It's critical we move forward with this. We will get back on our feet. The range has never looked for a handout. We will use a hand up, and we'll stay where we're at, and we'll weather the storm, and we'll come out on top of this. But we need your help. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dragovich, for your testimony today. That was very well said. Again, and before I go to member questions, again, I think what we're attempting to do here is to give temporary relief during a time when a company made a decision that they don't have the ability to stay open due to a lot of outside reasons that we can't control. But Minnesotans have been here a long time and helping people when they do this. And we also need to recognize when we can, we need to help those companies to have good long-range policies that make it easier for them to do business in Minnesota. And that's what, again, I hope it takes both sides, because we need the employer to hire the people back. And we need the people, or they don't have a business to open. So we've got to work together on how this can make it better for us in Minnesota in the long-range plan. So I just want to say thank you again for coming. It's going to take a lot of work to do this, and I'm glad on our first day in our committee you get to see some great bipartisan work today. So this is fabulous. Member questions? Yes, Co-Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks so much, Representative Igo, for bringing this forward, and Representative Johnson for working with him. I was struck by Mr. Arbogast's statement, a little bit yours as well, Mr. Chair, about outside factors, and just wondered if anybody can comment, any of the testifiers, about the impact of tariffs, if at all, on the industry. Is it something where you can say that? I'm just sort of curious about that, thinking about some of those broader factors that are going on and impacting what's happening here.
Who wants to take that?
I do think some investment, but it is such a drawn out process. I know day one everything was going to be, you know, a little different, but it has taken time. So I think Arbo can speak to that better.
Yeah.
Mr. Argobast.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. What I see is with Cleveland Cliffs, you know, there's a surplus of pellets, and the order books, you know, we have U.S. Steel, we have Cleveland Cliffs. The order books aren't great right now, and for many reasons, people aren't spending money. And we're hoping that that's going to change. And the big thing with Cliffs is, you know, the majority of their steel goes to automotive. Well, with the interest rates still being so high, the price of a Chevy half-ton pickup being close to $100,000, families are making decisions to keep running that old beater. Well, we're hoping that old beater dies eventually, and they're going to need more steel. But I would think with the tariffs, I would have thought that the price of hot rolled coil would have skyrocketed through the roof, but it really hasn't. It's, you know, it hangs around $950 a ton, which is a good price for the companies to make some profits. So I think it's just the fact that we've got an oversupply of pellets right now at Cleveland Cliffs, but that's going to dwindle down. They can't last on either side of the big lakes forever. And once that does, our mines will start back up, and hopefully we can get the Minorca mine back open, because everyone's gone there except for about 13 people. So we're just, and we know we can count on you guys for support. We just need another Band-Aid to get us there, and I think all these other things will work themselves out eventually. Hopefully I answer your question a little.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so it sounds like it's as much sort of broader economic conditions you talked about, interest rates and overall prices, as opposed to something about tariffs in particular. I just kind of want to make sure that I'm understanding that piece.
It seems to be that's what it's more. I mean, when you make steel to sell automotives, and people are making that decision because they can't afford it right now, but it, like Commissioner Jugovich said, we'll always bounce back. We've been down. I've been coming here testifying for 30 years, and as much as I like to come down here, this isn't fun, but
yeah.
Hopefully it's going to get better.
Mr. Chair, Arbogast and co-chair.
I have good personal news for you, Mr. Arbogast. We brought our old beater into the shop yesterday, got a very hefty repair bill, and I think we may be in line to be forced to replace it. So you're going to be happy to help out in my own personal way.
Hopefully it's dead.
For the challenge. It seems to be pretty close to that, yeah. So, Mr. Chair, thank you. And thank you again, gentlemen.
Any other members? Thank you. Oh, Representative Johnson, Pete Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. In reading some of the articles, especially with this most recent round of layoffs, why, like, it seems to be predominantly Cleveland Cliffs that is having this issue and not U.S. Steel. Is that a Cleveland Cliffs issue, or is it, if somebody could help kind of break that up, what is different between those two organizations?
Mr. Arbogast.
I think right now U.S. Steel, they're approximately selling 43% of their pellets on the open market, going seabound, and not for much of a profit, at, if all, where Cliffs is just supplying their blast furnaces in the United States. So that's probably a reason why Keetac is open right now, because U.S. Steel is selling the pellets on the open market. U.S. Steel has a new owner that has a lot of money, and they're putting a lot of money into U.S. Steel all over the country, including, you know, they're looking to invest in Keetac. We've got some basin permits and stuff like that. So I think it's just a matter of Cliffs has got to weather the storm when it comes to automotive, and I think they will. I mean, these cars can't sit on the lots forever, and interest rates can't stay high forever. So where U.S. Steel might be diversified a little more than Cleveland Cliffs when it comes to their products, so I think that helps too. But it's not good news at U.S. Steel either. It's just better news than Cleveland Cliffs.
Right. Representative Johnson, follow up. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Chair Pinto.
My apologies, Mr. Chair. I hadn't thought about this earlier. There's not a fiscal note, I gather, has been requested for the bill. Yes.
As I understand, it's been requested. It's not available yet, but this bill is on its way to Ways and Means, and that'll be handled before it obviously goes to that committee. Right. So that's the plan, Representative Igoe.
Yeah, and I'll mention, I had some conversations with Deed. We have some back of the napkin math. I think we're close, but I'm not going to state that I can do a fiscal note myself. So I know it's going to be close here in a couple of days.
Maybe, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Mr. Chair.
I think we checked and saw the bill last year also went to Ways and Means in the same way. So it didn't have fiscal note, got it caught up. Typically, if it's a general fund, I just kind of want to make sure we're clear. If it's a general fund expenditure, we generally would not send it on, right? But because
correct,
this is not coming out of the general fund, that's where I think those of us on our side will be supportive of moving it forward, as long as we know it won't move out of Ways and Means without getting that fiscal note. But if it were general fund expenditure, then we would have that concern.
Good point, Mr. Chair. This is actually affecting the unemployment insurance fund, the premium fund. So thank you for that. It's a
thank
good point.
You.
So this would be moving on, if this passed today, to Ways and Means as amended, with that fiscal note to follow later to affect the unemployment insurance fund. Any other questions from members? Seeing none, closing comments. Representative Igoe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for a really good discussion today and for hearing the voices of the Iron Range once again. Thank you to my testifiers. They all did a great job telling the story that I wanted to share with you all today, and I'm just thankful to call them friends and part of our community on the range. But they told such a good story of why this is so critically important. And I just want to, like, reiterate that story, because if we lose these people, we lose these jobs, and they leave our communities, it's not like we just lose one job. We might lose three kids in our schools, which now is going to affect how our schools are funded. We're now going to lose five more people at the local church. We're now going to lose that aspiring small business owner who maybe wants to do something on the side. We're going to lose the people that are going to volunteer at the local Lions Club. That trickle-down effect is what's devastating to our communities. But on the flip side of the coin, if you come up to the range right now and you come to our communities and you see them when we're dealing with these layoffs, you will never see a community that's more knit and tied together than they are right now. People are taking care of people, and they're looking out for each other. And that's what's so special about the place that us and my testifiers here get to call home. So it's hard, like you said, and Commissioner Jugovic said it best. We're asking for a hand up this time, because if we get this extension, we give that peace of mind, we're going to keep doing the good work, and we're going to keep being a backbone of Minnesota's economy. But it also goes without noting, we're close to some other great things on the horizon. Hopefully within the year, we are going to have the first new taconite facility in 50 years on Minnesota's Iron Range. That is going to be the shot in the arm that the whole region needs, from Grand Rapids to Ely. But we're also on the cusp of much more. Helium and copper nickel projects are close, but they need legislative support from not only rooms like this, but the entire legislature and our federal delegation. Because we can do it right, and we have done it right. Because if we do those things, then bills like this don't become necessary, because we will be doing our jobs and we'll be diversified, which we've been trying to do for decades. So thank you, members, again. And again, thank you, Representative Pete Johnson, for coming on and helping with this and being my number two on the bill. I really do appreciate it. The range appreciates it. And I just thank you again for the committee's support today and starting off the year with a good bill like this.
Thank you very much, Representative Igo and the testifiers. There is good news ahead here, too, because I'll tell you, they're getting a blizzard up there right now. And I want to encourage all of my friends that have snowmobiles and skis to pack them up and head north. Let's spread some money up north, because, again, I know that this is a time when they have to take advantage of that, too. So, again, thank you very much for that. Seeing no further questions from members, I want to the chair will renew my motion of moving House File 3393 as amended onto the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? House File 3393 as amended is on its way to Ways and Means. With that, members, Chair Pinto, do you have any coming up? We have a meeting tomorrow morning
at
15. So
thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, we are back on it. We're back on at 8:15 tomorrow. I had alluded to sort of broader community, really our entire state having been impacted in the last 2 months and having significant impacts on our economy and our workforce. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow and the broader issue of the impact, positive impact of immigration and the real need for immigration in order to keep our economy and workforce strong. I've been struck by a number of articles on that and a number of points made. I want to make sure we're discussing that in our first hearing under DFL tomorrow. So look forward to that at 8:15 tomorrow, and thank you, Chair.
Very good. And then also next week, just a preview, we'll be looking at kind of the update with paid family medical leave. Our friends at Deed will be here to kind of just give us an overview of where things are at now. That'll be early next week. And with that, members, we have completed our agenda. We are adjourned.